Jeff Blair loves to commute. Let him join you on yours. Subscribe to podcasts of The Jeff Blair Show at iTunes or with your favorite podcatcher. Sportsnet 590 The Fan on demand. George T. Stagg Bourbon, 140 proof. Poured over one ice cube, not two. Now, you can buy him a drink. This is the Jeff Blair Show on Sportsnet 590 The Fan.
The only way you would get back to the NHL is if you have a team that needs to get the salary cap floor, and he's got one of those contracts where he gets his cap hit is more than his actual cap dollars, or you're getting another bad contract back.
That is Mike Johnson, Sportsnet, talking to Brady and Walker this morning about the situation surrounding Mike Richards. 5 goals and 10 assists, 47 games this year. He's got 3 years, $16 million left in his contract. Works out to an average annual cap hit of $5.75 million. He is about an hour away from coming off waivers, and a lot of people expect that the LA Kings will dispatch him to the American Hockey League. Yes, the All-Star break is over. Starting to see the NHL rumor mill, the NHL news mill start to gin up again. And in Toronto, there's a little bit of interest in Mike Richards because of all those Dion Phaneuf for Mike Richards rumors. But more than that, the focus now shifts to the Leafs without Dion Phaneuf. Dion Phaneuf has been listed as week to week, whatever the hell that means. I guess it's worse than day to day. Maybe it's better than day to day. I don't know. But anyhow, Dion Phaneuf is week to week with an upper body injury. So all of those who have wondered or have called into this show and other shows and said, you know what? I think if the Leafs got rid of Dion Phaneuf for X, they'd still be able to make up for it. I think if the Leafs got rid of Dion Phaneuf for X, you could give Cody Franson more ice time, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. Well, guess what? We'll find out what the Leafs look like without Dion Phaneuf. The Leafs return to the ice tomorrow night against the New Jersey Devils. We'll have a game in Sportsnet 590 The Fan. It'll also be in Sportsnet Ontario. We're very pleased at this time to be joined by Glenn Healy of Hockey Night in Canada and the NHL and Sportsnet, back from the All-Star Game. Mr. Healy, how are you?
Jeffrey, glad to be back with that stuff that was going on the Eastern Seaboard, that weather. It was a crazy, crazy time to get people out of the Columbus area.
I was going to say, I don't think there's still a lot, some folks down there, I believe.
Oh, the game hadn't ended, and there are a bunch of NHL people. I kind of said, what's the weather like outside? And two of the people that were working, kind of doing game op stuff, they'd yet to hand out the car, said to me, we're snowed in until Thursday.
Yikes.
Wow. Okay. So you're not in a happy mood. You're not in a happy place.
No, you're in Columbus.
It's not a happy place today.
You're in Columbus till Thursday.
Yes.
Let me ask you about Mike Richards. Is Mike Richards going to be in a happy place in about another hour or so?
Well, I think the only way out of this for Mike is if the LA Kings, and they're allowed to take back half of his salary. So maybe as a $2-plus million player, he becomes palatable to a team. But there's no cap relief for the LA Kings. They can hide about $925,000 worth of his salary, and the rest goes on the books.
Mm-hmm.
It is on their cap. He plays for Manchester. $4-plus million is on their cap. So that's not good for them because they're a team that, you know, aren't looking to take back a bad contract. Really? Mm-hmm. That's what my goal is today if I'm Dean Lombardi? Okay, who's got a bad contract that I want? They want to win a cup. They want a player back. They want something that gets them, they're a dynasty team, basically, 2 cups in 3 years. So they're not looking to take something back that they're going to eat for the next 5-6 years. No. So he can be moved, you know, if the Kings take half. And if they take half, it's a little better than eating most of it because of, you know, the Wade Redden rule, so to speak, which, you know, didn't allow great teams that have lots of money just to send a player to the minors and hide the money. That's not the case anymore. You sign a player, you're eating the money.
Glenn, you were, from the conversations you had with people over this break, what do you think the market is for him? Okay, the Kings pick up, you know, they pick up $2 million of that. Are there teams like Winnipeg that might look at Mike Richards, for example, and say, you know, this is a guy with a little bit of a pedigree. The numbers haven't been that great this year, but he's got a little bit of the pedigree. He's played long into the postseason, a guy who might be able to help us a little bit. Or do you think that even with picking up $2 million, they're really going to have to beat the bushes to find somebody?
Yeah, the word basically throughout the NHL is you just can't skate anymore. And this game is all about speed. I mean, you looked at the guys that played in that All-Star game on the weekend. That's one thing that jumped out to me. Every one of them is fast. Not in the game, but like the skill stuff. They just all can skate. It's a speed game, and he's lost that edge. And maybe he didn't have it when he first came into the league. But, you know, as time's gone on and all the playoff games that team's played, you know, 60-plus in 3 years, he's got some miles on his body. So I think the market's limited, but if you're looking for a veteran guy to kind of bring some players along to give you some of that playoff swagger, there could be a market for him, but it's very limited because as you build your team, you're building it to play in June. You're not building it just to get by or to get to the floor or scrape up to get enough money so we're we get the participation medal in the big leagues. No. So that would be my assessment of him. You know, it is funny to talk to other players about players around the league. And one thing that jumped out to me at All-Star, and this is pretty much any of the guys I talked to, they thought the Leafs would be nuts to trade Phil Kessel. Now, that's coming from the players.
Mm-hmm.
Not from me, not from media. That's the players at the All-Star game thinking, what are they, kidding up there? They can't trade him. So it's funny how the rest of the league looks differently at situations like you talked about with Phaneuf that we talk about every day and fantasize about how we would get away from things or things would be better if, you know, that kind of debate.
Well, I'm glad you brought up Dion Phaneuf because I asked Eddie Olczyk this yesterday. We all saw him being drafted by Jonathan Toews and why'd you pick him? Well, he's coachable and then he's traded for Sagan and then the whole Carey Price talking about the jersey thing. Of course, a couple of years ago, it was Phil kind of being left to twist in the wind as the draft went on and Alex Ovechkin taking pictures, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. And I'm trying to decide, Glenn, whether NHL players like Phil and kind of, you know, this is a kind of a way of poking him and he's responding to it positively. Or some people have suggested, is this in some ways a lack of respect, not just for Phil, but mainly by extension for the Maple Leafs?
Yeah, I think it's a frustration with the crest on the front of the sweater. You know how it is. The team's got one playoff round in 10 years. Everybody's got to go. Blow it up. How many blow-it-up conversations have you had on the radio in your career? How about like every
thousands.
Second day?
Yeah.
You know, you get a win and it's like, oh, we're building for the future. You get a loss, blow it up.
But I'm talking about the players, the NHL players.
Yeah, and Kessel's, you're a great example. I mean, he was a guy. You know, Chris Sutter, the son of Daryl Sutter, gave the pregame speech for the guys, and he specifically said to Kessel, you going to play for me today, Phil? You going to play for me? Kessel stood up and said, I'll play for you, Chris. I'll play for you. Like, he played along great.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, hey, that whole weekend, give the players full marks. I mean, they all played along. That was not scripted. That was them doing their thing. That was them talking uncoachable. That was Jonathan Toews making trades with Tyler Seguin. It's not a shock that the two skated against one another in a race for speed. The coaches pick which players win in which drills. It wasn't the managers. It wasn't the player ops for the NHL. And if you didn't like that you were in the skating drill, go ahead, talk to Ryan Getzlaff. Don't call your general manager.
Mm-hmm.
And you tell Ryan you don't want to be in that. And so it was a good weekend in that sense that the players truly bought in and made it a success. Now, the game's another issue, and that has to be tweaked a little bit. But the weekend itself in Columbus was extraordinary. You know, they had 150,000 people there. They raised $20 million for the city based on every restaurant being full. Tim Hortons, good luck getting in there. Not a chance, unless you want to miss the game. And, now they're poised for a Democratic National Convention potentially. Just because of one All-Star weekend in Columbus.
Glenn, we talked a little bit off the top about the Leafs without Dion Phaneuf due to that injury. Some people's dream scenario. Let's we've talked about
careful Dion, what you wish for.
Well, that was my next question. Let's say that he's week to week, so I'm going to presume that means they're probably not going to have him for a couple of games. What has to happen here? What will happen to offset his loss, and what has to happen to offset his loss?
Well, you can't offset those minutes. You know, a guy who plays in every situation, it's just Stuart Percy's not the answer. He was exposed in the games that he played right before, we went to All-Star break. So that there's no player that they're going to call up. Corbinian Holzer, you can survive with him for a game or two, but this is for an extended period of time. The player is just too valuable with the minutes he plays to find a way to put a Band-Aid over it for a long period of time. It's impossible. And you can debate whether he's a number one defenseman, and that's a fair debate. But there's no debate when you say there's just not a replacement for what this guy provides to this group right now, unless you go outside that room and get a player from somewhere else. But it's going to be difficult. They're going to have to really survive this until he gets back, because that's 30 shifts you're replacing in every situation.
Does Cody Franson get a shot here? Do you think that, because, again, part of the flip side of we got to get rid of Dion Phaneuf is, well, unless we get somebody else who's going to come in and replace him, we're going to have to rely a little more on Cody Franson.
Yeah, that whole right side, there, no question that they're going to have more minutes put upon them, and Cody's the guy who probably can handle most of those minutes. But, you know, by the same time, you're fielding a bunch of calls for a player that you potentially thought you were going to maybe trade to improve your club. So there's a real dilemma here as to how do we move forward with this. You know, our playoff hopes are pretty much eliminated. We've got three games and four nights, and in the next three and four are probably going to tell us a whole lot about our group and really where we stand playoff-wise, which I've already kind of decided where I stand. But it's going to be tough. No question.
We haven't had a chance to talk to you about the World Cup of Hockey. We haven't on this show about the World Cup of Hockey since the announcement on Saturday. I like the idea. I understand the concept. There's going to be some tweaking. There's going to be some different teams involved. But as a guy who was part of the Players Association, a guy who played in the NHL, do you think that the NHL in general has been a little guilty of not milking the international hockey to the degree it should be?
Well, I went to London, England in 1994 for training camp. I was at the New York Rangers. We played the Toronto Maple Leafs in the Mustard Championship Challenge. It was probably the best training camp I ever had. What an experience. We played at Wembley, beat the Leafs, took home a trophy that they actually bought at the Wembley flea market for £10, which was quite funny. We actually left it in the arena. We didn't even take it home with us. But you know, that was kind of the start where I thought, wow, they're actually going to put a footprint and a blueprint, you know, into the European market. You know, Vancouver, for instance, you know, that when they had the Olympics there, the country that in Europe that watched the most Olympic hockey, you would be shocked to know was Italy.
Mm-hmm.
We don't have anything in Italy. We don't sell a T-shirt there. You know,
right.
So other sports have taken it to Europe and opened up offices like the NFL, or, you know, when Chao Ming went to in the NBA, when they went to China, they you know, started selling stuff there. We haven't really done that. I think that John Collins, that is his strategy now, to have an international strategy as to how we move this forward with the World Cup, with the Olympics, and with all the things that there's just incredible potential. I mean, we show four games a week in China on television.
Mm-hmm.
That's a start, right? If the Olympics, you know, goes to that part of the world and we're part of it, and we've decided we are, then we've at least started to build something. But there definitely has been a lack of one, but I think they've figured out that there's a great amount of potential and growth in Europe, and we haven't yet tapped it.
And, I kind of feel a little guilty because I wrote on Sportsnet yesterday, you know, well, this is a hammer they can use against the IOC, and, you know, we're starting to see the winding down of the NHL involvement with the IOC. And, I mean, I had a person from the Players Association call me and go, you know, don't go down that road that far. I mean, the idea is still to have some sort of exposure to the Olympics. This will be an add-on to it. This won't replace the Olympics, chiefly because Anytime the NHLPA, and Glenn, this is probably this when you were involved as well, anytime they pull the players, it's like 95% want to be in the Olympics. And, I mean, you can sit there and say, well, we might be able to make more money doing this or that, or this isn't working out for us, or this that isn't working out for us. But when 95% of your body says, hey, we want to be there, you go. Somehow you go.
And it becomes more complicated because as a player, you're dealing with emotion, but you're not dealing with the fact that we shut the league down for 20-plus days. We give them our players for free. We give them our staff for free. We give them our referees for free. We pretty much manage their tournament, which is the number one sport in the Winter Olympics, and we don't get anything back in return. In fact, in Vancouver, the ticket sales were about $74 million. We got nothing from that. We got injured players who team doctors can't go down and see them. It was a little different in Sochi. They negotiated some perks. Insurance was a big benefit. But having the World Cup where you have full control, you have your doctors, your staff, it's all in Toronto. It's all, you know, centrally located. You're not halfway across the country, 12 hours away. There is some significant benefit to it. It's long overdue. And the fact that the Players Association was burning through executive directors like no one's business, it's no wonder that they didn't have something planned. Right. But now they have. And I think it's a great tournament. I, you know, took part in the broadcast side of the World Cup in 2004. And it was best on best, and it was excellent hockey.
Well, and the other thing I like about the way these teams are composed, and again, there will be some, we're led to believe down the road, some tweaking with the teams. But the idea in the first year, I think, is because you're playing it in September, try to make it approximate exhibition game. So essentially, unless you're not a real good player, you're probably going to find a home in one of these teams, whether it's the under-23, the pan-European team. You're going to have a lot of NHL players going through something sort of resembling training camp, only obviously with the competitive level jacked up a little bit, by having all these teams out there. You're going to prevent having a huge group of players not playing games that time of year.
Well, I like the under-23 in the sense that Connor McDavid probably wouldn't make Team Canada, so it gives him a chance to play in the tournament. He gets to play with Jack Eichel, maybe Morgan Riley. You know, Ryan Nugent-Hopkins isn't 23. If we had a team tomorrow, he'd be on that team. So there are a lot of young players you're going to get a chance to see that might not make the big teams for Canada. We joked about it with the Olympics. You could field two teams for Canada, and they'd probably finish 1-2. And a guy, you know, Leonze Kopitar, who had a chance to chat with this weekend, I mean, he went to the Olympics with Slovenia. Mm-hmm. It was him and a guy, Jan Mrzak, who played about 36 games in the NHL. And then it was guys that are so world-famous, you probably know them, Thomas Razinger, Dennis Rodman, Marcel Rodman. You know those guys, the Rodman brothers?
Of course. The Razingers.
Yeah, world-famous.
Exactly.
No, not so much. And so he'll get to play on a team that will be a combination of European players and maybe play with Vanek and play with some of the really good Swiss players that are out there. You know, you maybe have like a Jonas Hiller in net where he had Guzleskis. I mean, it makes for a real, you know, good chance to have best on best. And, you know, Latvia, for instance, which almost upset Team Canada. I mean, I had a great chat with Nolan and Sochi, and I said, what's your team like? He goes, we got four gypsies on our team. I didn't know gypsies actually truly existed.
Right.
But they do. So I think it's a good thing, and I think they put it together the right way. It's long overdue, and let's give it a chance, see how it rolls.
Glenn, it's good to talk to you as always. Glad you made it back from Columbus.
Thank you, Jeffrey. Enjoy the week, and let's see how our buds do.
Absolutely. Take care. It's Glenn Healy, NHL analyst for Hockey Night in Canada and the NHL and Sportsnet. They're not my buds. Healy is, but the buds aren't. You get my point. Yeah, it'll be interesting. You've got dreams of the Leafs without Dion Phaneuf. Let's see what it looks like. Let's see what the Leafs have in their defense corps, because the chances are pretty good that if the Leafs were to move Dion Phaneuf, probably going to try to get a forward in return. So you may have to try to make it work with the group you have. Let's see how it goes. See if Cody France can pick up some extra minutes here. See if Jake Gardner can raise his game a bit. See what Morgan Riley has. Glenn Healy said, be careful what you wish for. But look, given the fact that the Leafs are effectively out of the playoffs, I mean, I think this is where we're at the experimental stage right now. And it'll start Wednesday night when the Leafs play the Devils. We'll have the game on Sportsnet 590 The Fan. Gord Stellick and Mark Osborne with the Leafs Nation pregame at 7. Puck drop at 7:30 with Joe Bowen and Jim Ralph on Sportsnet 590 The Fan. And the game will be part of our Scotiabank Wednesday night hockey coverage. That will start with Hockey Central at 7, followed by the game itself at 7:30 on Sportsnet Ontario. So if you've had any designs on going south of the border, you've probably been following the Canadian dollar as it tumbles against the U.S. dollar, down to 80 cents right now. Goldman Sachs predicting it'll be down to 71 cents by 2017. Big implications for professional sports franchises in this country. One gentleman who knows all too well the impact that a falling Canadian dollar has on a sports team's operations is Paul Godfrey. He was former president and CEO of the Toronto Blue Jays, now president and CEO of the Post Media Network. Paul Godfrey will join the Jeff Blair Show when we continue on Sportsnet 590, The Fan.
Send us all your money. Sign up for our free podcast at iTunes or with your favorite podcatcher, and we'll send you a free subscription for Sportsnet 590, The Fan, on demand, absolutely free. Now more of the Jeff Blair Show on Sportsnet 590, The Fan.
All right, we're back. Hockey Central at noon. Millard, Kiprios, and McLean will be joined at 12:15 by Mike Zeisberger of the Toronto Sun QMI agency. The Toronto Maple Leafs, one more day off before they get back at it against the New Jersey Devils tomorrow night. In New Jersey, you can catch the game on Sportsnet 590 The Fan at 7:30, preceded by Leafs Nation pregame with Stellick and Osborne. Leafs Nation postgame will be after the show, and the Leafs and Devils game will be on TV tomorrow night as well. Sportsnet Ontario, part of our Scotiabank Wednesday night hockey presentation. Hockey Central will be on at 7. The game itself will be on at 7:30. Let's see what the Canadian dollar is at tomorrow. The Canadian dollar is down to 80 cents. Goldman Sachs is predicting it will be down to 71 cents by 2017. This obviously has an impact on how Canada's professional sports teams do business, not just the NFL team or the NHL teams, but Major League Baseball's Toronto Blue Jays as well. And one gentleman who has had a lot of dealings, who's had a lot of experience managing a professional franchise, keeping an eye on the vagaries of the Canadian dollar, is Paul Godfrey. He's president and CEO of Post Media Network, formerly president and CEO of the Toronto Blue Jays. Paul Godfrey joining the Jeff Blair Show. Mr. Godfrey, thanks so much for doing this morning.
My pleasure, Jeff.
So, Canadian dollar is around 80 cents. Goldman Sachs says it's going to go down to 71 by 2017. For the layman, I mean, I think a lot of us who've gone down to the States on holiday, we understand the value of the Canadian dollar as far as you know, purchasing power goes and things of that nature. But when you're running a franchise and you're taking in a lot of your revenue, almost you're taking in all your in-game revenue in Canadian dollars, and you're paying your personnel in U.S. dollars, if the Canadian dollar were to go down to 71 cents, how much of a negative impact would that have on the bottom line of the Toronto Blue Jays and the NHL, the Canadian-based NHL teams as well?
Well, let's suppose the Blue Jays' payroll is $100 million. It's going to be more than $100 million. That's a $30 million difference on payroll alone that they'd have to come up with, which obviously affects the number of players you'll be able to get, because team ownership are going to set a budget, and that budget is probably and ultimately in Canadian dollars. When you consider you're playing against teams all in the U.S., so all your costs of traveling, away expenses, your minor league system, so the cost is killing on a team. The first couple of years I was president of the Blue Jays, I think we lost somewhere in the neighborhood of $70 to $75 million. 90% of that could be attributed to the Canadian dollar, which at that time was at about $1.45 Canadian to get one U.S. dollar. Mm-hmm. So then you were paying 45 cents for every dollar more than you would get out. There is some offset with the national TV contract, but it's nowhere near the ultimate cost. So in many ways, some cities in Canada could definitely not afford to have a major league team in some of the major league sports.
Well, and I guess it's like anything else too, Paul, even though the national TV contract would offset it, it's going to offset it for everybody. And it's hardly a level playing field when, it's going to offset the market in Milwaukee as well, right? It's not a level playing field when Milwaukee's sort of bringing in $1, and you need to bring in effectively you need to bring in a buck and a half to do what Milwaukee would do with a buck.
Absolutely, and that's the great problem. And we were fortunate enough to get Bud Selig to give us a $5 million U.S. supplement. That didn't solve the problem. That sure helped it along, though, along the way. I would expect that the Blue Jay organization will go back to the commissioner as the dollar continues to fall and consider reestablishing that. As I said, there's not enough money in the commissioner's discretionary fund to overcome that, but at least being the only Canadian team in the major leagues, and I'm sure that the Major League Baseball's offices are going to want to make sure that Toronto doesn't fall, you know, out of contention because of a differential in the dollar.
That could be an interesting discussion between Paul Beeston and the guy he originally didn't vote for in favor of the commissioner's office, Rob Manfred.
Paul is a very persuasive guy. I put my cards on Paul trying to explain it.
Paul Godfrey joining us on the Jeff Blair Show. A lot of talk about how pro teams, how Canadian teams hedge against the fall of the U.S. dollar or the fall of the Canadian dollar. Paul, would teams have been hedging even while the Canadian dollar was, you know, at 93, 94 cents against the U.S. dollar? At what point would Canadian teams start hedging against
hedging,
the exchange?
Hedging is a gamble, Jeff. I've seen teams hedge on fear the dollar may go down further, and you can hedge it with the banks. They'll be glad to take your money. But the minute you start hedging, you're betting that the dollar is going to go down, and if it goes up, you then get hurt that way. Mm-hmm. You can try and do it. I remember when when I was the president of the Jays at that time, Ted Rogers did not want to hedge because he thought it was a bad gamble, and Ted was brilliant in this area. But as I said, for the first couple of years, you lost, I think, over 70 the first year and just slightly under 70 the second year. Now that goes back to 01 and 02 at the time. The dollar got stronger as we got to 06 and 07, and there was a year that the dollar was higher. Mm-hmm. So we had a lot of smiling to do, and some of the players even suggested, now can we get paid in Canadian dollars? But we didn't go along with that because we knew the thing was going to switch and then they'd want to switch back.
Is there a comfortable level? I mean, obviously you'd prefer the Canadian dollar to be worth more or to be equivalent to the U.S. dollar. But, Paul, is there a point where it becomes a real crisis? You know, is there kind of a, I was going to say sweet spot, that's entirely the wrong word, but is there a point where it becomes a real issue?
Oh, sure. I think that especially in hockey, when the dollar goes up, I'm not sure how many owners of some of the teams that may have some shaky ownership in Canada. I got into trouble with Mr. Bettman when I was president of the Blue Jays, when I talked about certain Canadian teams. I wasn't talking about Toronto or Montreal or maybe even Vancouver, but some of the other teams, the dollar differential causing a problem that the teams could eventually get into trouble and may not be able to stay in a Canadian city. He got very peeved with me, and he told me, he said, aren't you the president of the Blue Jays? And I said, yes, I am. He says, well, I'm butt out of hockey. So
can't imagine Gary Bettman doing that.
Yeah, you can't. Eh? Well, we sort of patched our differences up later on, but at the time, I still believe that today. Look, the Canadian dollar at one time fell to $1.62, I think was the highest differential, which meant it was 62% higher. And when you get to that level, you know, the teams just can't compete and stay on a level playing field. The most ideal situation is a dollar for a dollar. And if you want to go internationally, that's what you have to do. If the Canadian dollar continues to fall, it even falls to 71 cents or below that, there's going to be a lot of pain on the faces of ownership.
Paul, as always, it was good to talk to you. Thanks so much.
Thank you very much.
It's Paul Godfrey, president and CEO of Post Media Network and former president and CEO of the Toronto Blue Jays. And yeah, I mean, a man with a lot of experience dealing with a variety of fiscal issues, certainly as president of the Toronto Blue Jays. And he pointed out that, I mean, there were times as well where the Canadian dollar was actually worth more. And, you know, talking about U.S. players being paid in U.S. dollars, Bill Stoneman, who was the president of the Los Angeles Angels of Anaheim, when he was in Montreal, and Bill Stoneman was a banker. Bill Stoneman worked for a Canadian bank in the offseason. I don't know whether it was Bank of Montreal or Royal Bank, but he was a banker. And when he was pitching with the Montreal Expos, he actually filed a grievance against Major League Baseball because he wanted to be paid in Canadian money. He did not want to be paid in U.S. money. The Canadian dollar was worth more at the time, and Bill Stoneman was living in Montreal. I believe he was married at the time to a Montreal woman. And, he grieved. He filed a grievance. He wanted to be paid in Canadian funds, not U.S. funds. And, of course, in every professional sport, whether or not the team is based in Canada, like the exception being the CFL, of course, whether it's baseball or hockey, the salaries are paid out in U.S. money. The revenues generated locally, whether it's tickets or parking or concessions or the national TV contract, the local regional TV contract, that is all in Canadian money. And, you know, we sometimes look at things and stop the analysis at salaries. But as Paul Godfrey pointed out, you're flying into the States, you're staying in American hotels, you're paying for American ground transportation, you're paying your meal money. And I don't know what that is now. At one point, it was $70 a day per player. I've got to think it's more than that. That is in U.S. money. That's in U.S. cash. So all your expenses, for the most part, medical expenses during spring training, running your minor league complex, spring training costs themselves, that is all in U.S. is in U.S. money. So it's certainly a big issue, in particular for the Toronto Blue Jays. And it will be fascinating. It'll be fascinating to see if the Blue Jays go back to the commissioner's office and ask for that currency equalization payment. One of the first things Paul Beeston did when he took over from Paul Godfrey was go to the commissioner's office and say, we do not want the currency equalization payment. This was when Paul Beeston was on his We Are a Big Market kick. And it'll be interesting to see whether a new president and CEO approaches the new commissioner, Rob Manfred, for some sort of equalization fund. And you heard Paul Godfrey say that Paul Beeston can certainly be persuasive. But again, as I point out, Paul Beeston was one of the people who were in the forefront of the anti-Rob Manfred movement when Rob Manfred was up for election as a new commissioner. Strange days for the Toronto Blue Jays president. Strange days as well for Mike Richards of the LA Kings. 3 years, $16 million left in his contract, 5 goals, 10 assists through 47 games. He's put on waivers. I believe he clears waivers in about 18 minutes. Will likely go to the American Hockey League, or certainly that's one of the options. Darrell Evans is the LA Kings radio analyst. You can follow him on Twitter at DarrellEvans15. Very pleased to be joined by Darrell Evans on the Jeff Blair Show. Darrell, thanks a lot for doing this. When did Mike Richards lose it?
You know, that's a good question. I think if you go back to last year, you know, there was a fall off in his game, but it seemed like when it come playoff time, he was able to elevate his game and get it back to the level that, you know, I think he was happier with, and more importantly, that the Kings needed from him in that position. And then I know they had a conversation with him at the end of the season and as to, you know, what was needed moving forward. And, you know, Mike committed himself to, getting himself in great shape and, you know, doing all he could, to be the player that, the Kings had acquired, you know, a few years ago and that they would need moving forward. And, you know, the unfortunate thing was, the way the season is going, I think if the Kings would have been in a better position in the standings, you know, I don't think this move probably would have been made at this time right now. But, it's an unfortunate thing for both sides, for Mike, being put in that position. But you know, again, you know, the big thing and the thing that comes first is always the team. And, you know, the Kings need to find a way to be a better team here, you know, with 35 games remaining. They're on the outside looking in right now, and they need contribution, and they need better production out of that position and the money that's being spent at it.
Daryl, does it simply matter that he's lost a step? Because that's what sort of the word, right? The word around the NHL is he's lost a step or two. And that might be from all those, you know, you play for the LA Kings, you play a lot of hard games, you play long seasons, you're probably going to be in the playoffs, you're going to go on a playoff run. It's a lot of miles, and it's hard miles, too.
Yeah, it is hard miles. You know, there's no team that's played more hockey than the Kings in the last 3 years, you know, the regular season, and then 64 playoff games. It's an NHL record. And they are heavy minutes. You know, the style of hockey that, you know, Mike and the Kings play is a draining style. You know, it's very physical. Mike's not the biggest guy, but, you know, he's the first guy to put his nose in there. And, you know, he's an ultimate team guy. He'll do whatever it takes to win. Very often you'll see him, you know, getting involved, you know, defending his teammates. And, you know, most of the players are much bigger than he. And, you know, you can maybe say that's taken its toll. And, but, you know, then there's other parts of his game. Like, you know, even just look at, you know, his, I don't want to say his thought process. I think he still, you know, sees the game and, you know, thinks the game the same way. But it just seemed like, you know, his whole body, you know, the mechanics, everything, it just seems to have slowed down a little bit or not, you know, not up to the speed. And I think the game continues to keep getting quicker. So it might not necessarily be him falling off as much as the game maybe passing him by with the speed that it's being played at.
LA Kings radio analyst Daryl Evans joining us on the Jeff Blair Show. From what you are led to believe, Daryl, is there a market for Mike Richards out there? You know, we've heard that a team like the Winnipeg Jets might have interest in him. There's been talk about this team, the Toronto Maple Leafs, although I would think the Kings would probably have to pick up a little money for that to get done. I mean, you know the Kings organization pretty well. Would Dean Lombardi be willing to pick up money in order to move Mike Richards? And if he was going to do that, I've got to think you wouldn't do that just to get somebody else's bad contract, would you? That makes no sense.
No, I don't believe that would be the case. You know, I think if the Kings, you know, were looking to move Mike, it would be a situation that, you know, they would be looking for something to improve their team. They would be looking for a piece. I think the Kings are, you know, a team right now that they need to look to improve. I don't think they're satisfied with, first of all, where they are in the standings and, you know, the way they're, you know, the game is going for them right now. You know, they've had a few hurdles to overcome through the course of the year. They lost Willie Mitchell at the beginning of the year when he went off to Florida. You know, he's a big minutes eater back on the blue line, and Slava Voynov with the unfortunate, you know, court stuff. So they're in a position that I think they really need to seek out a defenseman. And I don't think they're looking to, you know, just to, you know, take on money or, you know, take on a contract that somebody else doesn't want. That player would have to be somebody that would be able to contribute to this hockey club. I mean, this is a team that's won 2 cups in the last 3 years. And, you know, Dean, you know, and management have always done a great job at, you know, whatever they can do to improve this team and give them the best shot. So, and that's going to be what the, you know, what the process is going to be here. If Dean can improve his hockey club and, you know, make them or give them every, you know, opportunity to be able to, you know, to defend their Stanley Cup championship, that's what's going to happen. It's not going to be one of those, you know, moves that is just going to be made to, you know, satisfy somebody and, you know, take on a contract. The Kings are not, you know, they're not at that stage where they are in franchise right now where they have to do stuff like that. This is for the best of the team and to go out and win another cup.
Kings radio analyst Daryl Evans joining us on the Jeff Blair Show. And the Western Conference, it may be hard to believe, but it seems to me, Daryl, that the Western Conference is even tougher this year, isn't it? Like, where the Kings are now, you never want to be there, but this is probably the worst year to be there with teams like Nashville and Winnipeg, you know, picking up the slack. And, yeah, you've got teams like Minnesota that haven't been as good as people thought they'd be, but they're quite capable of going on a spurt.
They are, and, you know, the parity in the National Hockey League and, you know, more in particular in the West Conference, you know, continues to get greater each year. We don't think it could get any tighter than it does. But I think what we've seen this year, you know, in particular in the West, is that, you know, the teams that were, you know, in the bottom part, and I think they've all improved, you know, greatly. You look at Nashville, like you had mentioned them, the Winnipeg Jets, the Calgary Flames. I mean, these teams now, you know, are doing a great job. Minnesota's very capable of being a better team. We, you know, we saw what the Colorado Avalanche did last year, and, you know, I expect them to, you know, to rebound. I'm not really surprised at what I see this year, but their team is going to be, you know, a real competitive team, you know, for years to come because of the youth, the skill level that they have. And, you know, there's no easy games out there. There's a lot of wear and tear, and I think everybody, you know, looks at it as they got to get themselves to postseason play. They look at what the Kings have accomplished, you know, the last few years by getting in there. But by all means, that path seems to be looking tougher and tougher each and every year. And, you know, the Kings are the first ones to, you know, to tell you that, that you know, especially with a target on their back each and every night, everybody taking a shot at them. It makes it that much harder. So they've got their work cut out for them, but, you know, the West this year, there's some great teams. Nashville's having an outstanding year. You know, St. Louis is trying to get over that hurdle and get themselves to the next level. And, you know, then, you know, the top couple of teams in Anaheim and in Chicago for the last couple of years, they're very good hockey clubs. The experience that they have puts them in a good position. So it's not going to be easy. And, you know, now it's that time of the season where, you know, everything starts to, you know, really tighten up. I think kind of the cream rises to the, you know, to the top now, and there's going to be some great hockey, and I expect the Kings to be right in the middle of it.
Interesting times indeed, Daryl. Thanks so much for joining us.
Always a pleasure, guys. Have a great day and enjoy the game starting tonight.
Take care. That is right. The NHL does get back at it tonight. The Leafs will be back on the ice tomorrow in New Jersey against the Devils. We'll have that game on Sportsnet 590 The Fan, starting with Leafs Nation pregame at 7. Stellick and Osborne back at it. That game will also be on Sportsnet Ontario, part of our Scotiabank Wednesday night hockey coverage. Hockey Central will hit the airwaves at 7 o'clock. The game itself will be at 7:30, the Leafs without Dion Phaneuf. And as I said, those of you who want Dion Phaneuf out of the city, well, let's see what the next couple of games look like, and then we can have that conversation. We appreciate Daryl Evans joining us. Just a few minutes left, and Mike Richards will be off waivers. That's it for the Jeff Blair Show today. We will be back tomorrow, same time, same channel. Time now for Hockey Central at noon. It'll be Millard. It'll be Kiprios. It'll be McLean. And Mike Seisberger, the QMI agency, Toronto Sun, will join the boys at 12:15. Have a great day, everybody.